Welcome to the AM Jackson Podcast with your host, Mark Daly. News, sports, and conversations that are important to Jackson County. This is the AM Jackson Podcast.
Local Jackson news now from the WKHM.com News Center.
Good morning. 5 minutes after the top of the hour. Reporting with WKHM News, I'm Mark Daly. A man in Jackson County has recently pled no contest to second-degree murder in relation to the 2022 death of a toddler. Jackson County Prosecutor Kelsey Guernsey reports that on Friday, 43-year-old Donald Chad Flack pled no contest to one count of murder in the second degree. The conviction stems from the death of a 15-year-old child that occurred on December 13th of 2022. At approximately 4:10 on that day, police responded to a complaint of a young child having trouble breathing. The child was found in the home and pronounced deceased by medical professionals on scene. The child presented with injuries consistent with abuse, and Donald Chad Flack was the only person present and caring for the child at the time of the incident. Prosecutor Guernsey thanked Detective Jeremiah Wheeler of the Blackman-Leone Department of Public Safety for his investigation leading to the conviction, as well as Assistant Prosecutor Audrey Sales Reed for her dedicated work on the case. Jackson County Sheriff's Office is investigating a fatal wrong-way crash that happened Thursday evening on U.S. 127. Sheriff Gary Schutte reports that deputies responded to a multi-vehicle fatal crash on the evening of February 19th. It happened about 7:30 that night. Deputies were dispatched to South U.S. 127 Highway north of McDivitt Avenue in Summit Township. Preliminary investigation determined that a sedan driven by a 36-year-old woman of the city of Jackson was traveling northbound in the southbound lanes of U.S. 127, the sedan struck a fully loaded pickup truck head-on. 16-year-old passenger in the sedan was pronounced deceased at the scene. The driver of the sedan was transported to Henry Ford Jackson by Jackson Community Ambulance with serious injuries. The driver of the pickup truck was also transported to Henry Ford Jackson by JCA with serious injuries. At this stage of the investigation, officials believe that drugs or alcohol were contributing factors in the crash. The incident remains under active investigation by the Sheriff's Office Accident Reconstruction Team. Former youth soccer coach will spend decades in prison for sexually assaulting a child in Adrian. Lenawee County Circuit Court judge sentenced 39-year-old Andrew Olhausen, now of Texas, to 22 to 60 years behind bars on Friday. Jury convicted him last July on multiple counts, including first and third degree criminal sexual conduct, possession of child sexually abusive material, and several other related charges. Authorities say the abuse began in 2016 while Olhausen was coaching with the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. The victim was 12 at the time, and the assaults continued for several years. The case was investigated by Adrian Police. Charges were filed in 22 by the Michigan Attorney General's Office. The Attorney General praised the survivor's courage and credited investigators and prosecutors for securing a significant sentence. Olhausen was arrested by U.S. Marshals in Texas and extradited to Michigan. He must register as a sex offender for life. President Donald Trump will travel to Capitol Hill Tuesday night to address Congress and the nation on the state of things in this country. Ordinarily, it's a carefully, well-scripted, positive speech, and particularly during midterm elections. Here's University of Michigan Director of Debate Aaron Call on what we might expect.
Some of the latest economic data on job creation and inflation. We'll talk about his attempts to secure the southern border, something that he campaigned on, the ceasefire in Gaza, and some international and domestic accomplishments from his first year in office.
You know, in recent years, he says that these speeches haven't been as dull as they used to be.
President Obama in 2009 was heckled by Congressman Joe Wilson. President Biden was kind of jeered by Marjorie Taylor Greene and Lauren Boebert. And so that's in the last several years as partisanship has increased. This is something that's kind of becoming a fixture of the speech. I think the Democrats this time are going to take a different tactic.
Again, that's University of Michigan Director of Debate Aaron Call, who expects President Donald Trump to tout his accomplishments. After threats by President Trump to delay the opening of the Gordie Howe International Bridge, a study says that it would be a very expensive action.
Potentially, delaying the opening of the bridge between Michigan and Canada could cost more than $7 million per week. That estimate came from the Anderson Economic Group, a firm based on the U.S. side of the bridge. $5 million of that burden would fall on the Windsor-Detroit Bridge Authority, and about $2 million would fall to taxpayers. Those experts believe that ripple effects from the delay would extend well beyond construction and would affect industry and trade greatly. Work on the bridge began back in 2018. An actual opening date with toll costs have yet to be announced. Chris Villar, Michigan News Network.
An addictive drug that's available at shops across the state may soon be taken off the shelves.
It's described as gas station heroin. Kratom could be dangerous, both in its effects and what's found in it, like contaminants such as salmonella and heavy metals. It's outright banned in several states, Michigan considering the same. A bill would put penalties for anyone who grows or sells or synthesizes kratom. State Representative Jamie Thompson says it's sold unregulated in gas stations and smoke shops, even to children.
People use it for depression. They use it for ADHD. It's like taking an opioid. It's like taking, you know, MS Cotton or Norco, and it's actually, you know, 13 times stronger.
And she says reports from police, hospitals, and schools show it's been a major issue in the state of Michigan. Ryan Recker for the Michigan News Network.
On Representative Kathy Schmaltz's most recent appearance on AM Jackson, she talked about multiple projects that she is hoping receives state funding, including the launch of an aviation maintenance technician school at the Jackson County Airport.
The first you talked about is really exciting. It's for the Jackson County Airport. $300,000 to train high school students and others for a career in aviation maintenance and technicians. It would be a school. So the school would offer tuition-free training to 11th and 12th graders. The money requested would go to buy all the equipment needed for the trade school to meet federal requirements. So recent high school graduates and adult learners would also be able to enroll, but at a reduced cost. Mm-hmm. So Jackson County Airport Manager Juan Zapato testified with me. Did a great job. Students would be able to work on aircraft engines, welding, electrical work, and more. We need aircraft maintenance technicians so badly. The Federal Aviation Administration projects a shortage of up to 25,000 by 2028. And this program is expected to start in 2027, so it's really exciting. I really like this a lot. I think it's a great opportunity.
Another skilled trade organization that Representative Schmaltz hopes receives funding is the ShopRat Foundation for the completion of an advanced manufacturing training center.
It's critically needed organization to help fill the gap we have for skilled trade workers, as we know. ShopRat Foundation offers training to students and young people. We're asking for $200,000. It's a one-time ask to complete the Advanced Manufacturing Training Center in Jackson. It would be used to purchase machinery, train students in automotive, biomedical, aerospace, other industries, all who are in need of workers. And obviously the community has always stepped up to support the ShopRat Foundation. This funding would help complete the center, and Executive Director Kaylee Burke-Hoffman testified with me, and she did a great job, too.
Thomas Burke with Save Our Youth is also requesting state funding in the budget, something that Representative Schmaltz is happy to help with.
He requested $200,000 for Save Our Youth Mentorship and Workforce Program. So these young people between the ages of 14 and 17 are placed in, you know, different businesses. I've talked to some of them at the Michigan Military Heritage Museum, and it's just great. They have supervised work mentors. They learn job skills. It just helps them on a career path. The youth would be compensated, working up to about 10 hours a week. So Save Our Youth, as we know, has been around for a long time. Thomas does a great job. He was there testifying before me, and his story is also very inspiring to hear how where he worked in prison and how he worked with these kids, and he thought there was a better path for them, and so he started Save Our Youth.
You can find our full conversation as part of the February 20th episode of the AM Jackson podcast. Wherever you get your podcast, we also have a link at WKHM.com. Representative Kathy Schmaltz is a member of the Michigan Theater of Jackson's board of directors, and she's spoken out regarding her disapproval of the board removing Steve Tucker as executive director. Representative Schmaltz reiterated on AM Jackson that she urged the board to not take that action last fall and is currently working with community leaders behind the scenes to rectify the situation.
I talked to these people, and I've told them in the fall to not do or take the actions that they plan to take. So I have a real problem. There's two of us on the board who are against the rest of them and do not agree with what they're doing. There are some people who I don't understand. I have never worked with people who I can't tell you. I've never been on a board with people who I feel are incompetent. And these are my friends, so I hate to say that, but these actions were just not right. So we are working behind the scenes. There was a meeting Wednesday with donors. Donors were not happy about this, and I don't blame them. And we are working, like I said, behind the scenes to rectify the situation. I'm talking with business leaders, companies, different people in the area to help rectify all this.
Right. Well, she is not in support of a boycott of the theater. She says she understands why people think it is necessary and feels that community trust in the theater's board is at an extremely low point.
Well, of course, I don't like boycotts either, but I totally understand the reasoning for this. When you have some people who are trying to take over this theater and, in my eyes, destroy what we have built, especially after a major capital campaign that myself, Steve, and the community worked on, which none of them helped with, by the way, you can't let these people do this to the theater. It's too important to us. I can understand the reason why you don't believe in what's happening and you don't support what's happening and you're not sure what they're going to do with what you donate. I totally get that. And if they want to wait until we rectify it, you know, I can totally understand that.
It was clarified by Representative Schmaltz, as was also said by John Waldron earlier in the week of Southern Michigan Bank and Trust, that the board had no legal reason or investigational finding as the basis of Tucker's removal. Ultimately, Representative Schmaltz says that she and the community will not let the theater go down.
We will not let this theater go down. We will make sure that this theater is run by competent people. I do talk to Steve all the time. I don't like any accusations. I don't like any things that are flying around that are not substantiated. And I just think none of this had to happen, which I told the board in the fall. Decided to go ahead and do with what they thought. We find ourselves in this situation.
Again, our full conversation can be found on the February 20th episode of the AM Jackson Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts, and a link is available at WKHM.com. You could be hearing sirens this week, but WKHM's Luke Moorhead says it's not something to be alarmed about.
A reminder that over the next week, Jackson County will be conducting maintenance on its emergency siren system. Residents may briefly hear sirens during testing. County officials say this is part of routine system maintenance and no action is required. Anyone with questions is encouraged to contact Jackson County Emergency Management at 517-768-7957.
In Jackson, earlier this year, more than 1,000 residents helped shape the new Drive Jackson 20-Year Strategic Vision Plan through surveys, pop-up events, and community conversations. Now that the plan has officially launched, community members are invited to learn what's next. Drive Jackson hosting a series of informal community coffee hours across Jackson County. The open house events will offer a brief overview of the finalized plan, outline early implementation priorities, and give residents a chance to ask questions and share ideas. Remaining coffee hours are set for today at Lean Rocket Lab in Jackson and Tuesday at Vito's Espresso in Spring Arbor. Full plan is available online at drivejacksoncounty.com. More details on those coffee hours are available on the Chamber's Facebook page and Experience Jackson's Facebook page. Another school district is ending its partnership with a national photography company following reports of a possible connection with convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein.
Now, the Redford Union School District has sent a letter to parents saying it is immediately suspending all student photography sessions and services with Life Touch. The district says the action follows recent reports and social media concerns regarding ties between executive leadership at Life Touch parent company and individuals under federal investigation, reportedly including Epstein. Life Touch has issued public statements that no past or present board members have access to student photos, but school officials say they believe a temporary pause is necessary to conduct their own investigation.
I'm Greg Goldman for the Michigan News Network.
Why are UAW members at the Detroit 3 closely watching what the union does at foreign-owned carmakers in the South?
during every set of negotiations, the Detroit carmakers talk about their labor cost gap with foreign competitors. Cornell University labor professor Art Wheaton says unionizing those foreign competitors could make that wage gap issue go away.
In like the 60s and the 70s, they had almost 95% of all auto workers were unionized. Now that number is a whole lot less. So the more you can get other transplants or other foreign-owned automakers to be unionized with the UAW, it strengthens your case at the bargaining table.
Even when foreign carmakers give wage increases to keep the UAW out, Wheaton says that helps reduce the labor cost gap as well. Jeff Gilbert for the Michigan News Network.
Sales may be down, but a new study shows that people who buy EVs really like them. Once again, AutoBeat reporter Jeff Gilbert.
Satisfaction with EVs is growing. J.D. Power's Brent Gruber says their annual study shows that owners are actually becoming more pleased with their decision to purchase an electric vehicle.
It was the highest level of owner satisfaction on record within those 6 years. So despite that slowdown in sales, consumers who own these products like them at an increasingly higher rate.
EV owners say they're getting better information on real-world range of their batteries, and public charging has improved, especially with the opening of Tesla's supercharger network to other brands. Jeff Gilbert, the Michigan News Network.
There will be more discussions at the state capitol this week about drones and regulations. A symposium involving lawmakers, police, and manufacturing executives is scheduled for Thursday. One of the organizers, State Representative William Bruck, said lawmakers are aware of concerns regarding trespassing and other security issues.
You know, it keeps people from videotaping a neighbor or videotaping, you know, someone that they're spying on. So we're trying to put protections in there for private property as well as especially critical infrastructure, our power plants, chemical plants, refineries, etc.
Brock says he wants Michigan to lead the nation when it comes to implementing rules and regulations. More Michigan residents are now new homeowners.
Governor Gretchen Whitmer has announced that the Michigan State Housing Development Authority, MSHDA, has aided over 6,000 individuals in becoming homeowners in 2025. MSHDA dispersed over $1 billion in mortgage and down payment assistance loans. The governor emphasized the state's commitment to enhancing affordable housing and achieving its new target of 115,000 housing units. MSHDA support, particularly in innovative pilot programs, has significantly contributed to making home ownership accessible, with extended services to 80 of Michigan's 83 counties. I'm Tracy McCaskill for the Michigan News Network.
On the Health Beat, this entire month is devoted to heart health. Heart disease is the number one killer in the U.S. Blue Cross and Blue Shield health and wellness spokesperson Shanti Appello says you can improve your heart health by eating better.
About 80 to 90% of cardiovascular disease could be preventable with lifestyle changes. And of course, diet is going to be one of them. One thing that you can do is add omega-rich foods to your diet. So that's going to be fatty fish like salmon, sardines, tuna. And the reason that omega-3 fatty acids are so important is because they help lower inflammation, which can be a trigger for heart problems.
Appello says they can also help lower triglycerides and support healthy blood vessels. She also recommends eating whole grains and potassium-rich foods like spinach, bananas, sweet potatoes, and avocados. She says beans and lentils are also good for your heart health. Across the nation and across our state, still celebrating a huge victory for America in the Winter Olympics, the USA men's hockey team defeated Canada in overtime yesterday, bringing home the gold medal. All four of the players on the ice for the final goal had ties to Michigan. Here's Red Wings radio announcer Ken Cal.
Michigan has been a hockey hotbed for hockey all over the last, I would say, 40, maybe 50 years. And it just continues to grow. More players are playing. They want to play hockey. So it's good. It's good for the future of hockey. It really is.
The victory occurred at the 46th anniversary of the Miracle on Ice when the USA men's hockey team won over the favored USSR team during the 1980 Winter Olympics in New York. Sports Illustrated called the Miracle on Ice the top sports moment of the 20th century. It's Monday, and it's the 23rd day of February. Today is Curling is Cool Day. Well, I mean, it is on ice. And I've been watching a lot of curling reels lately. You watch one and a bunch just pop up. It's International Dog Biscuit Appreciation Day. It's National Banana Bread Day. It's also Play Tennis Day and National Tile Day. It was on this date in 1836. The Siege of the Alamo began in San Antonio, Texas. It was on this date in 1848. John Quincy Adams, the 6th U.S. president, died of a stroke at the age of 80. It was on this date in 1927. President Coolidge signed a bill creating the Federal Radio Commission, which was the forerunner to the Federal Communications Commission. So on this date, 1945, U.S. Marines raised the American flag on the Pacific island of Iwo Jima, which is commemorated in a classic photo. On this date, in 1996, Halle Berry and Atlanta Braves outfielder David Justice announced they were ending their three-year marriage. It was on this date in 2000, Sean Diddy Combs was indicted on charges of bribing a witness. It was on this date in 2010, British Culture Minister Margaret Hodge announced the iconic Abbey Road Studios, made famous by the Beatles, was being declared a National Historic Landmark. It was on this date in 2014, the closing ceremonies of the Winter Olympics were held in Sochi, Russia. And on this date in 2020, President of the People's Republic of China described the country's COVID-19 outbreak as China's largest health emergency since 1949. Birthdays today include Dakota Fanning is 32, actress, All Her Fault, Twilight franchise. Samara Weaving is 34, actress, Ready or Not, and also The Babysitter. Aziz Ansari is 43, actor from Parks and Recreation, Master of None. Emily Blunt, 43 today, actress, The Devil Wears Prada, Oppenheimer, and also A Quiet Place. Oh, I love The Quiet Place movies. Josh Gad is 45, actor, The Book of Mormon, also Frozen. Niecy Nash-Betts is 56, actress, Monster, All's Fair, Reno 911. Damon John is 57, entrepreneur, Shark Tank. Mark Price is 58, actor, comic, Family Ties. Kristen Davis is 61, actress from Sex and the City. Patricia Richardson from Home Improvement, the mom from Home Improvement, is 75 today. Victor Fleming has a birthday. He passed away in 1949. Victor Fleming, director of Gone with the Wind, Wizard of Oz. Peter Fonda would have had a birthday today. The Easy Rider passed away in 2019.
How long did you boys say it was going to take you to get down there?
About 2 or 3 days.
2 or 3 days, that right? Boy, I sure wish I was going with you.
Yeah? You got a helmet?
Birthdays today include Steve Holy. He's 54 today.
She said I need some time to find myself. I need a little space to think. And maybe we should start seeing other people. And baby, things are moving way too fast for me. So I picked up what was left of my pride, and I put on my walking shoes, and I got up on that high road, and I did what any gentleman would do. I got a brand new girlfriend. We went and jumped off the deep end, flew out to LA for the weekend. The whole day lying on the beach, wearing nothing but a smile, playing kissy kissy, smoochy smoochy, talking mushy mushy about nothing.
Howard Jones also has a birthday today. He's 71. Brad Whitford from Aerosmith is 74 today. Johnny Winter, he's the older brother of Edgar Winter. Johnny Winter, blues guitarist. He would have had a birthday today. He passed away in 2014. For more local stories, breaking news, and interviews with Jackson's newsmakers, visit us online at WKHM.com. I'm Mark Daly.
When I get hungry, she takes me out. I'm riding shotgun like a Shih Tzu hound. My tail's a wagon, my tongue's hanging out. It makes me want to shout. I got a brand new girlfriend.
I'm Mark Daly, and you're listening to the AM Jackson Podcast.
And I tell you, yesterday morning was just an absolute fabulous morning. You wake up, get your coffee at your own pace, sit down, watch the Olympics, watch the men's hockey team. And they pulled off a win. Yesterday was a day that many of us won't forget after what happened on the ice in overtime against Canada. Once Canton resident Jack Hughes won the gold medal for Team USA Hockey with the game-winning goal. Here, in case you missed it, here it is.
And it's Werenski. Now Jack Hughes puts it around the car. United States with numbers. Black across it comes. Jack Hughes wins it. The golden goal for the United States. For the first time since the 1980 miracle, the United States takes the gold. Jack Hughes beating Jordan Bennington.
The golden goal gave Team USA their first Olympic gold medal in men's hockey in 46 years. Three other Michiganders were on the ice for the winner. Red Wings captain Dylan Larkin, Grosse Pointe Woods native Zach Werenski, and in goal was the hero of the game, Commerce's own Connor Hellebuck, who made 41 saves. Canadians outshot the U.S. team. By a lot, especially in the second and third periods. But Hellebuck just killed it between the pipes yesterday. As, again, USA, as you are aware, wins gold, and the Olympics finally have come to an end. Seemed like they were on for a long, long, long time. Hey, how about MSU basketball yesterday? Senior center Carson Cooper. Jackson's own Carson Cooper poured in a career-high 20 points, grabbed 11 boards as number 15 Michigan State men's basketball rallied for a 66-60 win over the Ohio State Buckeyes Sunday at the Brez. Michigan State trailed by 3 at half and fell behind by 6 early in the second half before taking control. With the game tied at 51, Spartans used a 10-2 run to build a 61-51 lead with under 3 minutes to play. Ohio State answered with a 7-0 surge to cut it to 3, but free throws from Jordan Scott and Cooper sealed it in the final seconds. Jeremy Fears Jr., 11 points, 8 assists, while Scott scored 12, including 10 after the break. MSU improves to 22-5 overall, 12-4 in the Big Ten. Spartans hit the road Thursday night to face Purdue, and we'll have that for you Thursday. That's a 7 o'clock broadcast, 8 o'clock tip time. We'll have that for you down the hall to the left on Fox Sports 101.9 FM. Elsewhere in Big Ten action from the weekend, yesterday it was Wisconsin defeating Iowa 84-71. And that's it, just the two games. Duke overcame Michigan yesterday. You know, you play that game 10 times. And Duke probably wins that one 9 times out of 10. 68-63 for that final, with Duke getting the victory on Saturday. Let's take a look. Jackson College Jets basketball. The women from the weekend, they were on the road at Schoolcraft, and they dialed up a loss, 85-64, losing to Schoolcraft on Saturday. They'll wrap up their regular season on Tuesday. So tomorrow they host Macomb Community College, 5:30 for the tip time there. Men, of course, the season for the men has been somewhat of a struggle for the Jackson College Jets. And the men yesterday, or on Saturday, that is, they also lost and have so far have yet to find a win in conference play. They lost 103-72 at Schoolcraft on Saturday. Tip time for them on Tuesday is 7:30 as they host Macomb Community College. High school basketball, the boys, they get in action today as we start district action. And first round of districts, we're going to start off here in Division One. This is Division One, District 12. Take a quick look-see at it. Division One, District 12 today has Mason taking on Lansing Everett. Winner for this contest at 5:30, Mason High School will advance to take on Jackson on Wednesday for the 5:30 tip time. Bottom part of that bracket has Northwest taking on Okemos today at Mason. Winner there will advance to face Holt. That's high school basketball, Division One. Let's take a look at Division Two, and this is Division Two, District 50. And in this one, you have Battle Creek Harper Creek going to face Western today. That contest is at 5:30. Winner there will advance to take on Marshall on Wednesday. Bottom part of that bracket has Olivet versus Eaton Rapids. Winner there will face Penfield on Wednesday in the 7 o'clock game. Now we go to Division 2, District 52. Division 2, District 52 for high school basketball. And in that one, you've got Madison taking on Tecumseh today. Winner there will advance to take on Michigan Center on Wednesday at 5:30. Bottom part of that bracket has Columbia facing Milan. Winner will take on Adrian Wednesday at 7 o'clock, and that district taking place at Tecumseh. Now we pivot over to Division 3, District 83. Division 3, District 83, and high school boys basketball action. Again, all of this happening today. Division 3 has Dansville versus Potterville. Winner there advances to take on Springport on Wednesday. Bottom part of that bracket has Stockbridge facing Brighton. Cheryl Stockwell Prep. Winner there will face Leslie in the 7 o'clock contest on Wednesday. Sticking with Division 3, District 84. Division 3, District 84 has Homer taking on East Jackson today. That's going to be our broadcast game on 95.9 The Power Cow. So down the hall to the left, 95.9 The Power Cow. As we have Homer versus East Jackson, winner will face Lumen in the 5:30 game on Wednesday. Napoleon and Hanover Horton both dialed up byes, so they'll be playing in their first game on Wednesday as well. Division 3, District 86. Division 3, District 86. Again, high school boys basketball, first round of basketball action happening tonight. That is Sand Creek taking on Clinton. Winner will face Onstead. Blissfield takes on Grass Lake tonight, 7 o'clock. Winner will face Manchester. Now we pivot over to Division 4. And in Division 4 high school basketball, we're going to District 117. District 117 in Division 4 tonight has Jackson Prep taking on Maurice. Winner will advance to take on Weberville. Lansing Christian versus Vandercook Lake on Wednesday at 7 o'clock. That's District 117 in Division 4. Let's take a look at District 118 boys basketball in D4, where Jackson Christian will face Coldwater Pansophia Academy. Winner there will advance to take on Coldwater on Wednesday. Litchfield versus North Adams Jerome on Wednesday at 7 o'clock. That's high school basketball. Cascades Conference Championship for the women over the weekend. I can't help it if it's glitchy. There it is. Basketball girls. Cascades Conference Championship from the weekend saw Grass Lake defeating Columbia 52-42 in the championship game. It was in the Cascades crossover consolation game. Third place went to Michigan Center as the Cardinals took down Hanover Horton yesterday. They beat Hanover Horton Saturday, 60-42. Maurice View, 17 points, 6 assists, 4 steals. Ella Best, 12 points, 5 boards. McKinley Gaddy, 7 points, 8 assists for the 18-3 Cardinals. Girls Regional at Jackson High School yesterday in wrestling. Peyton Houston of Columbia punched her ticket to the state finals with a third-place finish at 140 pounds, going 3-1 on the day. Abigail Judy of Marshall claimed the regional title at 104, winning by a pin in the championship match. Both advance to the MHSAA Individual Wrestling Finals, March 6th, Ford Field. Boys side, Saturday, Division II at Fowlerville. Jeff Miller of Northwest, he won the 144-pound title, while teammates Jack Edwards, Khalil Williams of Western, and Harlan Begg of Marshall also qualified. Division III at Leslie, multiple area wrestlers advanced, including champions and runner-ups from Columbia Central, Napoleon, and Grass Lake. Division IV at Whitmore Lake, Springport, Hanover Horton are sending several wrestlers to Detroit, highlighted by championships from Wyatt Burns and Austin Hochter. State finals in wrestling is just 2 weeks away. That's at Ford Field. Tigers also, they were in action yesterday in Grapefruit League action. They went to a 4-4 tie against the Baltimore Orioles. That's a quick look at your sports. This is AM Jackson. Sports again brought to you by our friends at Kettlebell Hotspot Sport and Fitness Center. Let's check in with your weather forecast.
That's you're listening to the AM Jackson podcast with your host, Mark Daly.
Back to AM Jackson, live from the County National Bank studio.
We'll check in with ABC News headlines here.
A little bit.
Courtesy of Jenkins Insurance Group, Farm Bureau Insurance Agency, insurance coverage for your home, auto, or your farm. But Tina has been patiently waiting for us all morning long. Tina, good morning and welcome.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for asking.
How are things with Hometown Heating Cooling?
They're good. They're busy.
Yeah?
Yeah, we've been busy, so it's been good. Phone keeps ringing. New customers calling all the time. We really appreciate it.
When we had fake spring, did it slow down a little bit?
Not really, actually. Yeah. No, it really didn't. It was steady.
Okay.
Not like crazy busy or anything like that, but still keeping the schedule busy.
Yeah.
So it was nice. Yeah.
Right. Well, we'll circle back. We'll talk more about Hometown Heating, Cooling, and more here in just a little bit. But you have your home show hat on today.
Yes.
Because Hometown Heating, Cooling, and More, longtime sponsors and supporters of the Home and Garden Show at the American One Event Center.
Yes, we are.
I'll ask you to get your green thumb out.
Oh, goodness. Please don't.
How many years for you now? I mean, you can't put an exact number on it.
You know, I think it's our seventh or eighth year doing the home show.
All right.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. We're excited about it. I love the home show. I love the people. I like to meet like our customers face to face. Like we talk to them on the phone a lot and we never really get to see them. I don't anyways. You know, our guys do. So it's nice when our customers come up to our booth and are like, hey, I'm so-and-so or whatever. So if you're at the home show and you're a hometown customer, please come see us because we love that.
How many times are you asked, is that you I hear singing
goodness.
On the radio?
It's
got to be the number one question you get.
It is a lot. They ask all the girls at the booth. And they're like, no. I'm like, yeah, that's me. That's me. Yep. That's
how many
me.
Times do you get suggestions? Hey, you should do this.
Oh, I do.
Yeah.
I do. Yep. some of the suggestions are to stop singing.
Oh, stop.
Yes. But I won't do that. I'm not going to do that.
They remember it.
Yeah.
It stands out. So,
yep.
Well, the home show Friday gets started off with, I think they started this a few years back.
Yes.
But they have a special night.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So this year they're going to do like appetizers and drinks. Mm-hmm. And there's going to be some booths set up for shopping for ladies. I know they're going to do like a treasure hunt with some prizes. So that'll be a fun night. And then I know like we give away roses that night, or flowers, I should say. So there's some other booths that do special things for the ladies as well. So Friday night is ladies night and get your ladies together and come see us.
It seems like a really good hook because I have to imagine it's mostly the guys. If I'm being sexist here, let me know. But it's mostly the guys who say, hey, hon, let's go out to the home show. Do you think that's accurate?
That is probably true, which is kind of weird because like 80% of our customers that call are ladies.
The women make the decisions, but the guys want to go out and look at the stuff.
Yes.
So this Friday event, this Friday at the home show, which runs Friday, Saturday, Sunday at the American One Event Center, that's a great way to kind of get the decision makers in the house kind of over the hump to go out.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And it's a good time. Yeah. It really is. It's a good time. The ladies will have a lot of fun. There's lots of stuff going on.
What time's that start Friday?
Oh, I want to say four to eight, I think it is on Friday.
Good.
Yeah.
All right. And then Saturday, what time do things run and
open
Saturday?
So Saturday, I think it's 10 to 6.
Okay.
I don't quote me, but I think that's what it is on Saturday. And then Saturday, they're going to have some extra food vendors, a beer garden.
Beer garden. You and I were talking about this before we came on. So let's bring our listeners in to our off-the-air conversation. Because, you know, I like beer.
I do, too.
I'm not much of a gardening fan.
I don't mind gardening.
Okay. We tried it.
I usually don't do beer and garden at the same time, though.
I mean, so what is a beer garden?
I'm not sure. It seems pretty magical.
I love it. I'm going to use that for the news.
I'm excited about it.
Beer garden. It seems pretty magical.
Yes.
I like it.
Yes.
So asking AI, a beer garden is basically a place where beer, wines, other beverages served along with food outdoors.
Yes.
So I'm not...
I don't think Patrick's going to put us outside.
I'm not sure if the weather's going to lend itself
to that.
They just
might be outside the main area.
Okay.
Yep, and just have a special area just for that.
So you, me, and everybody else on the planet listening to us right now are going to find out what the Home Show Beer Garden is like on Saturday.
Yes.
Just come on out.
Yes. I think the Crazy Cowboy will be down there that day. Virginia Coney Island will be there that day. And I think Schlenkers, am I saying that right?
Schlenkers.
Yes, I think they're going to be there as well, I think. Pretty sure.
You haven't had a Schlenkers yet?
I have.
Okay.
I have. Schlenkers. I've never been in there, though.
Oh, you got to.
I've never been inside there.
They've got a finely seasoned griddle.
But they got an olive burger. That could.
That's good. That is
so good.
All right.
Deep fried cauliflower. They I can't believe I've never been in there, but I definitely eaten there.
You got to take vegetables deep fried, so at least it feels a little healthy.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, so the Home
Show
Saturday.
Now.
Sunday, is Home Depot back on Sunday?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So the Home Depot is doing a building something with the children. Also, the first 100 kids get a $50 savings account from Community Choice Credit Union. So
is that just Sunday or is that the whole
that's
weekend?
Only Sunday.
Okay.
Yes. And then the vendors will have, you know, stuff for kids as well. Sprinkled throughout the floor. And that'll be a good day to bring your kids out.
Okay.
So, you know, they'll be occupied while you're occupied.
Right.
Which is nice.
Well, this is just set at such a perfect time in the year because we had fall spring, but we all tend to get a little bit of cabin fever.
Yes.
This time we want to get outside, and whether you're the outdoors kind of person or not, you are always going to have projects and thinking about stuff that you want to do outside around the home. So this is like a perfect time.
It is.
For the
and
home
there's
show.
There's so many different vendors that are going to be there, and I mean, just from small projects to new construction, building a new home, landscaping. I think there's pool and spa that are going to be there. Yeah. So it's going to be a little something for everyone.
Right. Absolutely. It's
and heating and cooling, of course. Hometown's going to be there. So I'll be singing. I'll be singing. So request a song and I'll sing it for you.
You should do a karaoke booth.
Wouldn't that be fun?
That would be fun. Do karaoke booth.
Maybe I should do that for ladies' night. Because ladies will, once they get a couple drinks in them and...
Yeah, the wine and chocolate goes a long way.
That might be the last home show.
You could do the best of commercials.
Yes.
You know, from, all right. So, swag. There's always swag at the home show.
There is.
What are you guys doing for swag this
year? So, we actually put together swag bags. So, we have a bunch of hometown merch that we put in there. All different kinds of fun things. Mm-hmm. And we save it for the folks that are... that stop and actually have conversations with us.
Okay.
So we don't really have a lot on our table. I might have some pens on the table or something like that, you know, for people that like pens to come by and snag one. But
chip clips? Stress balls?
Those are in the swag bags.
Those are the swag bags.
Yeah.
All right.
So we'd love to hear from you.
All right. But this is the time to pick someone's brain. Ask if you've got that project in the house. It's time just to kind of come in and have that conversation.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, organically, the conversations lead into other things as well. So
yeah, absolutely. Yeah, everybody wants to gain a customer from the home show, but not necessarily is everybody there just to sell you something. There are some companies there that that are, and then there's others that aren't. But I mean, really, we're just there to educate and to meet people and to get our name out in the community. So, you know, if you stop by hometown, it's low pressure. We just want to, you know, shake your hand and have a good old conversation.
Do you track? I don't know if this is something that you can track, but because we tell our customers, our clients here, you know, it takes that repetitive messaging. It takes, because very rarely are you going to need something the very instant that you need it.
Right.
You're going to need to develop that top of mind. So
yes.
when you find somebody who's calling because they need to get that new furnace put in, or, you know, whatever Daikin product, what do you find that maybe it was like a couple years they first heard of you, or how's that? Have you tracked that?
So we do. We ask everybody how they've heard of us.
Uh-huh.
So everybody that calls, we ask. It's actually kind of cool because 1 year we didn't do radio. We did some other things, but people were calling saying they heard me on the radio all year long.
Uh-huh.
And I wasn't even on the radio.
Huh.
But they must have heard me before.
Right.
You know, that lingered into that following year. But we'll get all kinds of things. So a lot of referrals from customers. But we do get like some people from the home show, or they've seen our trucks, or we're at their neighbor's house.
Right.
But you're right. Every little thing that you do makes a difference. So it's from the trucks on the road to being at the home show to being on the radio to whatever you're doing, supporting in the community. You know, people just see that hometown logo. And
there's no missing those trucks.
No, and if they see it enough times, hopefully they call us.
There's no missing those trucks.
Yeah, they're
no
billboards. Roger and I were talking about it last night that we've been in business for 16 years, and there's still people that haven't heard of hometown.
Okay.
So it just takes time. It takes a lot.
Okay. So let's circle back to hometown heating, cooling, and more. What have people been calling for? Here we are in like the, you know, we had the really, really cold snap warmed up for a little bit. Now we're kind of like a normal winter. What are the calls
so
like right
really
now?
Really, it's just a lot of lingering furnace service calls.
Okay.
You know, people that have kind of stretched their problems out to the end of the season. It's a lot of that kind of stuff. So a lot of new humidifiers. We've put a ton of humidifiers in this year. Just with it being so cold, the heat's running so much. Everybody's houses have been so dry, you know.
Okay.
But yeah, I just think it's just some lingering. AC calls yet.
Not yet.
But
when
I thought maybe we would have had one, but we haven't yet.
Well, when should people start? Start of winter, people are calling to kind of get that furnace checked out. When should people start thinking about that for the air conditioning
units? So, you know, usually we say right around 50 degrees is when you can really do a solid tune-up on AC. So I'd say once that weather kind of is here and staying here, that's when I would, you know, give your, if it's us or somebody else, give them a call and get your AC looked at. But we're still doing furnace tune-ups too.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's any time of year is good.
Right. And you also have a customer kind of plan too, to do regular routine maintenance and checkups,
we have
our
maintenance plan, and that's two visits a year, one in the fall, one in the spring. We take care of your furnace, your air conditioner, your water heater, and your dryer vent.
All right.
Yeah.
Tina from Hometown Heating, Cooling, and More in the studio with us. Sponsor of the Home and Garden Show.
Home and Garden Show.
Right?
Yes.
Any gardening? Going to be getting ready for any gardening?
You should ask Patrick when he's in, if he's got any tips or tricks to gardening.
No tips or tricks for Tina?
No.
At Hometown Heating, Cooling, and More? Okay. All right.
Just come see us. Come stop by our booth and say hi.
All right. Just so our listeners know, last time you and I talked, we're going to pivot a little bit. Last time you and I talked, we were talking a little bit about Big Brothers Big Sisters.
Yes.
So I know you're a supporter of Bigs, and you support so many things in the, in the community, but I know that's close to your heart. So what's your journey been like with that so far?
So it's kind of like a waiting game right now. I'm waiting to meet my little, and I'm super excited, and I'm nervous, and all the things. So hopefully that happens in the next couple weeks here, and we can start building that relationship.
Yeah, that'll be cool. Mm-hmm. I remember what that feeling was like.
Yes,
too.
I am excited. I am so. It's almost like having a kid. It's like you're just. I don't know. It's just a lot.
You have those
lot.
Weird little butterflies, but it's.
You just want to do the right
feeling.
Thing. Yeah. You want to make sure that you're just. Great, you know, somebody else is trusting their child in your hands, so it's a big thing. It's a huge honor.
Well, I'll be asking you.
I can't wait to tell you.
I know. I'm looking forward to it.
No,
I love sharing because I love hearing the stories and sharing that information. It's we always talk about how people give back to the community on large scale or being a part of this event, and this is so unique because it is true, authentic, one-on-one
yes.
type of interaction.
Yes.
And it's just it's such a it's a unique way of giving back to the community.
It is. And there and there's a lot of bigs or a lot of littles waiting for bigs. So, you know, if you're listening and you have an extra hour to two in your week, you know, maybe you could be that for somebody.
Yeah. All right. Very good. Okay. So let's circle back. Let's kind of wrap up where we started.
Okay.
Hometown Heating, Cooling, and More.
Yes.
It's a gold sponsor of the Home and Garden Show.
Correct. Yep.
At
yep.
the American One Event Center.
Yep.
Just kind of give our listeners the details and the events and just kind of like the quick little elevator speech.
So, weekend. So Friday, ladies night, 4 to 8.
Okay.
Come get some drinks and appetizers and shop. Saturday, 10 to 6, beer garden, lots of local foodies, and some singing happening at Hometown's booth. And Sunday, I think it's 10 to 2.
Okay.
And that's the kids' day, and they're going to do $150 savings. What's the word I want to use?
Savings account.
Accounts, yep, from Community Choice. And Home Depot's going to be there doing building something with the children.
They have those kits.
Yes.
They have those kits. Yeah. Like it'd be a birdhouse or a car.
And they might let you pick, too. They might have a couple different ones that you can do. But
so easy to put together. Comes with everything that they
and
need.
I know they do a good job, so that'll be fun.
That is. Yeah. The kids are going to enjoy it.
They are. Yes. Yes. And, if you want to bring your kids, that's the day to bring your kids.
So you have your booth, but everybody who has a booth always ends up walking around talking with people.
Yes.
Any projects that your household would be considering this year? What's maybe not this year, but you're starting that 2-3 year planning cycle.
I don't know. We always have projects going on. You know. I don't. We have a little lean to that we're working on right now at our cottage.
Okay.
So maybe looking for some ideas for that or.
Yeah.
We have a couple of projects going on at Hometown, too. We have a couple of buildings right there in Parma that we've been working on and trying to get ready. So, yeah, so maybe we'll... I always kind of just like to chit-chat, and it's always nice to have a couple of people like that anyways that you can reach out to.
You never know which way the conversation's going to go.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's just how it goes.
Yeah.
All right. So it's going to be at the American One Event Center, just full of vendors.
Yes.
This way, of all.
Sold out.
It's sold out.
I think there's 100 vendors.
Okay. And it's a good variety, too.
It is a good variety. Yes, it is a good variety of vendors. Right. Absolutely.
Cool. Anything else we didn't talk about today, Tina, from Hometown Heating Cooling More?
I don't think so.
Got it all? All right.
I think so.
Good deal.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see you this weekend. Looking forward to it. It's going to be fun.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. All right. Tina from Hometown Heating, Cooling, and More joining us on AM Jackson on News Talk 9. Wait. Real quick, before I let you go.
Yes, sir.
If they have those heating and cooling needs, how do they get a hold of you?
They can stop into beautiful downtown Parma, where it's always 70 and sunny. They can check us out on Facebook. Our website is heatandcoolwithus.com. Or you can give us a call in the office, 517-795-2933.
Quality Daikin products?
Yes.
Did I say that right?
Daikin. Yes,
Daikin. Said it right the first time, not the second time.
That's all right.
All right. Thanks for being here, Tina.
Yes,
appreciate
thank you, sir.
AM Jackson on News Talk 970 AM, 101.5 FM. ABC News Headlines.
I'm Mark Daly, and you're listening to the AM Jackson Podcast.
Back to AM Jackson, live from the County National Bank Studio.
8:37, 23 minutes now in front of 9 o'clock. Wow, the morning is going by quick. And we welcome to the studio, we have joining us today, Casey, AJ, and Riley from the Jackson Area Career Center. Casey, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Mark. Thanks for having us.
Well, it's good to have you here for the first time. What was that? I like to ask people, it's kind of like the icebreaker, what's that like when you're going through the S-curves here?
Oh,
on Glenshire Drive.
It's nice, actually, because it's very picturesque with the woods and the snow. So I actually like driving back here.
But you have no idea there's a radio station back here.
Right.
You feel like you're lost.
I was wondering if my students were kind of like confused, like, this is a neighborhood. Where's the radio station?
Well, we thank you guys for braving the S-curves and for coming in and talking with us here today. There's an open house coming up.
Yes, Thursday. Thursday from 4 to 7 at the Jackson Area Career Center. This is kind of our enrollment season. So if you are a 10th grader, getting ready to do your schedule for next year, come on out. This is the night to kind of see our programs and add that to your schedule for next year.
Now, because I see the billboards, I love the theme. Tell us a little bit about that.
So we really just want people in the community to know that we've got some great success stories coming out of the Career Center. Our billboard campaign focuses on current students and alumni, so people who've gone through our programs and are working in our community. Mm-hmm. For example, right now we have Deputy Bolin from the Jackson County Sheriff's Office on one of our billboards. Yeah. He was through our law enforcement program back in 2018, a Northwest student. And then we've got, you know, three current students on the billboards. We have Ava, Janae, and Jordan, who are in our auto, careers, and ed, and our cosmetology program. So these are students who are excelling in their programs, have dreams of going on to college or right into the workforce, and we want to show the community that those things are possible at the Career Center.
Well, and it works.
It does.
It works, too. Right.
And we want people to picture themselves here. So that's why our theme. Picture yourself here. You could be on a billboard one day. You could be some of these success stories that we like to talk about.
How's that feel when you know you have someone, several students who have gone through the Career Center and end up actually finding that job in the area of study? That's got to be satisfying.
That's very satisfying. And even more so satisfying is that they get to try it too. And if they don't like it, then they know they've made a great decision at the Career Center. Like, some people might think they want to be a firefighter, and then they put on all that gear, the 25 pounds of gear you have to wear, and they're like, maybe I don't want to do that. So
right.
This is a great time for kids to be exploring that, and we have those options at the Career Center for them to do that.
And we have some students here who are kind of exploring that right now, right?
Yes. AJ and Riley.
AJ, let's start with you, AJ. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning.
Thanks for being here today.
Yes, of course.
So now what grade are you in?
I am a senior in high school.
Senior in high school. And tell me about your journey right now at the Career Center. What are you studying?
So I am in the visual communications program. We're basically a print shop, and we do photography and we do graphic design. So we'll work with all of the classes in our second year to produce products for them.
Oh, okay. So it's kind of like the built-in job. It's
pretty
kind of
much.
Like the okay.
Yeah.
What was it about this, AJ, that kind of attracted you to that?
I really liked the people in the program, and I also liked the fact that I could do something practical with my creativity and my art.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, so you're a visual artist.
Yes.
Then what's your area? What's your focus?
I do a lot of graphic design, and I do a lot of like hand sketching.
Okay.
So usually with like pens or pencils, or I'll paint sometimes too. So, yeah.
Well, you know, we find a lot of times like the hobbies and the interests kind of feed into what it is, for lack of a better term, what you're going to be when you grow up. You know? So that's cool. What's been like your favorite part of your journey? Is there something that stands out for you from the last couple of years?
I think learning how to like actually do what I do at Career Center.
Yeah.
So being able to design stuff and being able to lead my classroom and like building better skills when I'm like talking to adults, because that's honestly a really good opportunity for me to do, and it's really fun.
Well, you know, I got to tell you, Casey, it's so nice when we have students in here I've talked to a lot of high school kids, and it's so nice to be able to have high school kids that can actually talk, you know?
That's one thing we want. That's part of the learning process at the Career Center. I mean, they do get graded on employability.
Yeah.
So being able to have those adult conversations, looking in the person's eye, the handshake, the showing up on time for work, keeping your phone away. These are all things that employers expect of their employees. And so we're helping them get on that path at this time.
Right. Now, Riley, go ahead, grab the microphone. Let's talk with Riley. Riley, what grade are you in right now?
I'm in 11th grade right now. So I'm in my first year at Career Center.
Okay. So what's your focus of study right now at the Career Center?
So I'm in the engineering program at the Career Center.
Okay.
So that entails a lot of different aspects of engineering, the design process, manufacturing things even, and it's really interesting.
Is there a certain part of that you're kind of gravitating towards right now, or?
No, not necessarily, especially because it's my first year. We're kind of just getting a
overview
of all the different things that we could be studying.
Okay. Now, you do robotics, right?
I do robotics. Oh. Yes, that's my thing.
For our listening audience, the face just lit up as soon as I mentioned that. Okay, so it's not BattleBots, which is what I'm familiar with, but I'm familiar with the competition that robotics do. So tell us about the project.
So basically every January we get the game. So the game's announced, which just tells us what different tasks the robot has to do. And then we have about like 6 weeks from that drop in January till our first competition, where we compete with about 40 odd teams in the area.
So what's the task this year?
This year, we're shooting a ball that's about the size of a dodgeball. We get to shoot balls about the size of a dodgeball into a scoring mechanism that's on the middle of the field.
Okay. What was the biggest obstacle to overcome when you and your team were designing this?
I think that making sure all of our mechanisms, because we have to have an intake mechanism and then a mechanism that makes sure the balls don't get stuck on each other in the robot. Then we have to have a shooting mechanism. Making sure that those all go together cohesively was probably a bigger struggle. And then
recoil wasn't much of an issue?
No, not really.
Okay, all right.
But then also we have certain height requirements, and this year they're a little tighter than they have been in years past. So I think that's been a little bit of a challenge as well.
Okay. All right. That's very interesting. And I know we've got, really within Jackson County, we've had a lot of success with the robotics program, a lot of kids from the Career Center, haven't we, Casey?
Yes. And the one great thing about robotics is I've learned from robotics, you're going to have to tell me with the word.
Cooperation.
So it's a competition, but there's also cooperation. So what I love when I go to these matches is that if another team has an issue and they're your competitors, Riley from her team would go over and work on and help them. So it's like a big collaboration. It's what I love. So while these kids are competing against each other, they're all there to help each other too, which is just very unique in a sport.
It's building unity, I think, among students, and which is really, really important, because in any given match, you're going to be playing a lot, like on the same team essentially as two other robotics teams that are there. So you want other teams to do well so that you can do well.
Right.
So ultimately, you want everyone to have fun and be as successful as they can be.
Right. Well, and this is an important life lesson too, because you experience that in the professional world. You might have to work alongside what you would consider a competitor in order to get a task done. It happens in the professional world a lot.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. So this is a very good starting point for them.
So tell us about the open house coming up.
So it goes from 4 to 7. Like I said, if you're a junior or a sophomore getting ready to think about your junior year, come on out. But we also, even if you're maybe in 8th grade, 9th grade, you've probably come and seen us. We do 8th grade and 9th grade tours and 10th grade tours. So by 10th grade, these students kind of have been through our building a few times, have a better idea of what they're actually interested in. So when we're open on Thursday night, we'll have all of our programs will be open. Our instructors will be there. We'll have some students in the classes. If you wanted to ask questions, you'll be able to tour our spaces, see the equipment that our kids are learning on, ask specific questions about what the program might be able to help with your student or what there might be get out of it. But we also have a great website, too, with all kinds of videos. So you can kind of watch the videos of the programs to kind of see our programs in action as well.
Right. When you talk about the programs, I mean, we're not talking just about a handful. We're talking like a lot. There's a lot of programs the Career Center offers.
Almost 24, 22 programs. Everything we have, you know, like cosmetology, aesthetics. We have our manufacturing programs like welding, engineering, public safety programs. We have fire, law enforcement, ROTC. We have our health tech programs, visual communications. Yeah, it goes on and on.
Right. So there's a focus on the trades. There's also a focus on industry.
Yes, big focus on industry. I mean, what we're trying to do is these are the programs that we offer are the ones that are in demand. I mean, we're constantly working with our advisory members for each program to find out what are the latest trends in industry? What kinds of equipment are our kids working on, our businesses buying, working on? What do we need to help prepare the workforce for you so when these kids graduate, you want, you know, great employees?
Right. When you have those conversations, is that like an in-house conversation? Are you talking to professionals in the Jackson area? How do you decide what programs are going to come and which ones are going to go?
I think it goes about the same way. I mean, it's statewide, kind of what the state is looking at in terms of CTE, in terms of rising businesses. It's also, depending on the local industry. Our aesthetics program is our newest one. That's been 2 years now. And the instructor who runs that program used to be a cosmetology instructor, has a passion more for the skin side of cosmetology, noticed a need in the community that a lot of these places were popping up, aesthetics places, those kinds of spas, that she saw a need. And did her research and found out that there is a great opportunity for us to start a program like that to help provide that pipeline of workers to that industry.
Sounds like there's a lot of cooperation between the Career Center and professionals within the Jackson area.
Yes, yes. I mean, we have a work-based learning department who go out, and so these students, when they're in their second year, we're able to set them up with local businesses who are looking to have, you know, internships or kids on co-op. So those kids will go to their job 4 days a week
okay.
and then come to the Career Center on Fridays to do their Career Center class. But while they're technically on Career Center time, they're working at an employer, you know, doing actual work just like every other employee. Some of those jobs are paid, some of them are unpaid. It just depends on what the position is. But yeah, we're always looking for members of industry. Mm-hmm. If you see a program in our building that you do in industry, we'll want to hear from you. Like, maybe there is a way of us partnering or getting together and right. making sure that we can provide for you.
I can't tell you how important that is. AJ and Riley, how that experience to actually get hands-on work, because mm-hmm. there's learning in the classroom, there's learning in the career center, but the actual job
right.
itself, it's so much different than what you're going to learn, right. the actual experience itself. It really
yeah,
is.
Yeah, so I mean, AJ, like in VizCom, you can talk about how we have these shift leaders and representatives for each program.
Yeah, tell us about that.
So at the start of the year, we all got assigned 3 to 4 programs.
Okay.
So we will work with our assigned programs to get their projects done. So cosmetology, they are getting like awards done for their fashion show or their hair and fashion show, and they're going to get those engraved through us.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
We also do a lot of screen printing for different programs around the mm-hmm. building. So we're working on merch for the school store, which is sales and marketing right now.
Okay.
I'm trying to think of all the projects that we've done. There's a lot.
The embroidery.
Yes. So Autotech needed new embroidery for their shirts.
Okay.
So we designed that with them, and then we embroidered that in-house instead of them having to ship all their shirts yeah. out and get them cleaned and then embroidered. We were just able to embroider them and then hand them off.
What a skill. And there's always businesses, companies that need swag, as we call it in the biz, right?
Yeah.
So AJ, what do you want to be when yeah, after this, go through college, what are your goals? Where do you want to end up?
I want to do something good for my community. I really want to help people, and I think doing this can be an avenue, just being able to use photography skills and being able to use graphic design skills and being able to do print work is a good thing to have in my tool belt to do that.
Very rarely do we get that kind of an answer. That's awesome. You know, it's always, I want to end up here. Very rarely does it ever come back to, I want to do good for our community.
I really do.
That's
want
awesome.
To help.
All right. Riley, what about you? Once you are through the Career Center, through college, where do you see? What are your goals?
Well, I think the Career Center has been a really great opportunity for me mm-hmm. because I've been able to explore different things that I'm passionate in. And mm-hmm. I have kind of realized I do have a passion for engineering, and I really enjoy working with my hands and mechanically speaking.
Okay.
But ultimately, I kind of the same with AJ. I want to do good, and I want to do that. I want to be a lawyer. So my next steps are going to law school, but hopefully finding a way where I can incorporate manufacturing and engineering into whatever type of law I practice. That's the ultimate goal.
Well, there's a lot of business lawyers out mm-hmm. there for sure. So there, all right,
yeah.
Very good. Well, Casey, anything left untouched that we didn't talk about today that our listeners should be aware of?
Yeah, so even if you are an adult learner interested in something new, mm-hmm. We want you to come to our Career Center open house as well on Thursday. We're going to have our adult enrichment coordinator on hand, and we've got, you know, medical classes going on. We have a welding class that just started, but we're also taking, you know, information from the community. What do you want to learn? Maybe there's a hobby, photography, auto, some sort of hobby that you want to learn. We have a survey on our website. We're looking for the community to give us some input because we want to offer what you guys want to learn. So come on out and see what we have in that respect. Maybe you're considering a different career. Maybe you just want to get more skills for that current career. We likely have a program that we can help you with.
All right, you see these kids going through these careers, all 22 programs. Mm-hmm. Is there something there that you're like, oh, man, that'd be so fun to learn how to do?
I mean, I'm very interested in the law, like law enforcement. Like, I never thought I would be want to be a police officer or anything. But like, when I go into that program and I see some of the stuff that they're learning, the opportunities, and you know, it's just insane. Same with the fire. Like, I don't think I could ever do that. But I think that's what I like about the Career Center is you can kind of try it before you buy it. If there's a career that you're thinking of, come out here and give us a try. You might think, you know, you want to like be a doctor, but then you start drawing blood and you're freaking out and you're like, maybe that's not for me. Well, now you've tried it at the Career Center. You'd have to spend a bunch of money in college to figure that out. Or, you know, there's just all these just great things. And even like AJ was saying, these are skills that she can use further in her career. But it's also too, in moments like this where we're, you know, out and about in the community, talking to adults and running shifts and helping lead tours and out, you know, competing. So I think it's just an all-encompassing aspect of the Career Center that you really get exposed to so many different things.
I just think of how much stuff I'd be able to make and fix if I knew how to weld, you know?
Exactly.
And they make good money, too.
Yes.
They make good money, too. All right, real quick, elevator speech. What do our listeners need to know about the Open House Thursday?
4 to 7. Come on out. Keep an open mind. Come and just see what we have and be ready to enroll. And whether you're a high school or adult learner, there's something for at the Career Center for you. So we want to see you out there from 4 to 7.
Casey, AJ, Riley, thank you so much for being here today. I had a lot of fun.
Thanks,
you guys
Mark.
Are awesome. You're listening to AM Jackson on News Talk 970 AM 101.5 FM.
This has been the AM Jackson Podcast. Tune in live weekday mornings from 6 until 10 at News Talk 970 AM 101.5 FM and online at WKHM.com.